we have these conceptions that artists are broke, artists are disorganized, artists are drug addicts, artists are always consuming or disorganized. And so we grow up thinking that way. And so when we choose to be artists in any sort of discipline that we like, we have those conceptions even if we don't, if we're not aware. So it's very important to really, again, go back to the values and think and really know what it is that makes you you. Like, what are your qualities? What are the things that make you wanna create and live your life and live by them?
In your divine essence, you shine. In your divine essence, you thrive. I'm your host, Riss, and you're listening to Essence Podcast.
Hey, soul babes. Thank you so much for being here. In this week's podcast, we'll be diving into talking about embarking on the journey, going with the flow, and just being in your divine essence, just listening to where spirit is taking you and indulging in your own creative journey. And in this episode, I have my beautiful friend Cammie, aka Cammie on the Cam here.
I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for the invitation. This is my first time ever doing this, so it's very exciting to step out of my comfort zone and be in front of the camera because I'm generally behind the camera. So it's very exciting to tell my story for once. And, you know, when your job is kind of, you know, telling other people's stories, it's cool to be able to tell mine.
Yes, of course. Yeah. I mean, that's why I wanted to have you on here, because we met in college and I seen you, you know, when you're starting off, right? We went to Coachella and seen you record the whole thing, like really embody just you and the camera and like showing the beauty and the essence of like what it was like to be there. And you've been doing that throughout your journey of just sharing behind the scenes of different projects you've been on, and you've continued to like thrive and make this your whole life. And I just want to, you know, dive into that. But starting first, like how we met was in college in a class randomly. Well, synchronistically, I knew that from the start. I was like, I want to be her friend. And yeah, Luckily we were given the opportunity to like connect.
Yeah. I remember, I think it was a media introduction class or something. And we had to sit next to each other. It was like my first semester, and you know, randomly just sat next to me. And I remember seeing your tattoos and complimenting you about it. I was like, oh, these are so cute. And out of like everyone on the classroom, I just kind of felt safe having you next to me. I was like, oh, she's cool. Like, I like her energy. And I felt like I wanted to be your friend too. But it kind of, you know how it goes when you're new in college and like kind of everyone has their own lives going on and people just kind of go to class and then they get out and they go do their thing in life. We never really got to connect. And then all of a sudden, here we are in Coachella and we live this beautiful experience. And this story is so beautiful, and it's crazy that I feel like I've been telling this story a lot lately because it's coming up. And I think it's one of the best stories I've had in my life. And it was all because I just kind of jumped into something without knowing and just going with the flow, pretty much what you're saying. I was given the chance to go to Coachella. My friend had like an extra ticket and he couldn't go and he needed to sell it. And so he gave it to me for very, very cheap, like 2 days before Coachella. And I was like, bet, of course I'm not going to pass on this opportunity. But then when I got the ticket, I was like, who am I going to go with? Like, I don't have a group of friends. I don't have a camping. Like, how am I going to do this? And I remember Sergio going. And so I had met Sergio like a couple of weeks before in a different production. And I didn't know that you guys were dating until like a couple of days before. And I was like, the two things came to me. I was like, oh, that's crazy. cool. Uh-huh. And so I just reached out to him and I was like, hey, like, are you going to Coachella? And he said yes. And I was like, oh, cool. Can I go with you? I was like, can I go? He's like, yeah, I'm going with my girlfriend and her friends, and I'm camping. And I was like, you have space in your camp? Like, I just got this ticket, and I don't have anyone to go with. He was like, yeah, sure. Like, she's staying with her friends, and I have a space. And I was like, okay, perfect. Yeah. But I went without a plan. I didn't have a tent. I didn't have a sleeping bag. I didn't have anything. But I had a GoPro, and I was like, well, if I'm going to go to Coachella, I'm definitely going to make the most out of it, and I'm going to record as much as I can. And all I bought for Coachella was a stabilizer for my little GoPro camera, and I was set. And as soon as we get there, everybody, you know, starting to set up their camp, and one of our neighbors go, they go, hey, guys, we have an extra tent. Does anybody need a tent? And I was like,
I do.
Right here. And then another neighbor was like, does anybody need an extra sleeping bag? And I was like, I do. So wow. It just kind of like all fell into place. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this really, you know, I guess this was really meant to be. And then you guys got there like around 6-ish. And I remember just thinking like, oh, I hope her friends are cool. Because I knew Clarissa, but I didn't know her friends. I didn't know anyone else. And we all clicked so like well. And we all became like a little family right after, without even planning it. And I think that just, it goes to show that your space and, you know, when you take chances to just kind of go out and meet people, then the people come, the right people come, which is very cool. Absolutely. And that's really how I always tell my story on how I met my best friends from college. Like, we all met at Coachella.
Yeah,
and then we all figured out, oh, we're all going to the same school. We all ended up graduating together, which is crazy.
I know. Yeah. It effortlessly flowed to you, this Coachella ticket, you being open, you know, like these doors like slowly opened for you and you were like, sure, you know, like you questioned what you needed, like, how can I get there? What can I do? But then you let the, like, you know, the divine basically guide you. The universe was like, yeah, okay, I'll take you there. And, like, you bought what you needed, which was your little GoPro stand. Yeah, yeah, that's all you needed. And then the rest was to come to you, like, no problem.
And I remember I even got clients from Coachella because I was going around with my little camera, and I see a guy who had the same stabilizer as me. And we looked at each other, and we're like, huh. And then he looked at me, he was like, you're smart. And I was like, yeah. He had this really cool, like, thing behind around him that's called bomboas. And it was, like, this little light, like, boa thing that was super beautiful. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And he was like, it's my brand. And I was like, oh, my God. So he told me about it. And he gave me a card. He gave me a card, said bomboas. And I was like, oh, that's smart. And I was like, I should do this. I was like, I should have cards. And I should, like, back then, I wasn't even Cami on the camp. I was just Cami J Fatah, like, I would go by my name, but I was trying to figure out, like, what my brand was and, like, how to differentiate myself as a filmmaker and everything. And when he gave me that card, I was like, oh, that's so smart. And then we ended up connecting afterwards because I made these vlogs from my Coachella experience, and he saw them, and he was like, oh, my God, you're really good at editing. And he was like, I have so many videos from all these festivals that I'm going with Bomboas, and I don't know what to do with them. You want to edit them, I'll pay you. And I was like, sure. So I even had like that experience where I was like, oh, wow. Like, I just went to create for myself. And, you know, I ended up being able to help somebody else with their content. And I have to say, we got so lucky. We went to the best Coachella that has been in a really, really long time. Like, I haven't seen a lineup that good in a really long time.
Yeah, you had
Coachella.
Yeah. It was,
if you know, you know,
forever in my like core memory of like, damn, will probably never be that kind of Coachella again.
No, I ended up going the year after for a day. I got a free ticket as well for just one day, and I went, and it was insane. It was great, but the people around you is really what makes the experience unique. And you guys became my family in LA because I was really new in LA. I lived by myself and I didn't have any friends. And I remember asking you guys, like, where do you guys live? And you told me, and I was like, oh my God, that's like 15 minutes away from my place. Like, I was like, you guys are going to be my friends for life. And here we are.
Yeah. Speaking of like where, when you first got to LA, I know that journey was, you know, starting for you of your working with the camera, and now you are where you're at. Can you dive a little more deeper into the transitions that you made? Because at one point you did have to go back home to Colombia. So I want to be able to have you share more of that transition.
In June 2020, I was working on getting my visa, my artist visa, to be able to stay. And everything just kind of stopped, and I felt like it was time for me to go home. So I moved back to Colombia in September 2020 after 7 years in California. And I had to go back and just kind of go back to my own country and experience the pandemic in a whole different way as well, and re-encounter my family and my country and my culture that I kind of had been disconnected for the past 7 years. Like, I would only go to Colombia for a month out of the year. So I had this very like American mentality for some reason. And just, yeah, it was a culture shock for me to go back to my own country and feel like, yo, like, I don't feel like I really belong here. Like, it was weird because in the States and in California in general, like, I would always be the Colombian girl in the States. And then I went back to Colombia and I was the gringa girl in Colombia. And I was like, where do I belong? Like, it was a crazy shock for me. But because of the pandemic and everything, I kind of had to wait a couple of years. I had to wait 2 years to get my visa appointment to get another tourist visa. And so it was kind of like the world and the universe was like, you gotta be home for a little bit and you gotta, you know, explore this. And I was like, okay. So I did my process and I worked and I tried to like make amends with my culture, myself, my family, my everything. And then when it was time, you know, the visa was accepted and I was able to come back. But it took me 2 years. It took me 2 years to be able to come back to the States and in a whole different mindset and a whole different time and space. And it was very interesting. But I actually made a connection in Colombia with a film director that I really admire when I was in LA, and he came to Colombia to celebrate his birthday. And I saw he was in Colombia and I reached out to him and I was like, oh my God, you're in Colombia. I'm in Colombia. We have to meet. And for some strange, you know, way of the universe, he replied to me. He was like, oh yes, I'm in Medellin, pull up. And I was in Cali at the time. So I was like, I gotta go to Medellin. So I booked a flight literally that same night, and I flew to Medellin for the weekend to go meet this guy and his team. This was before I got my visa, and I told him, listen, I'm gonna go back to LA. When I go back to LA, I would love to work with you guys, and you know, we're gonna make it happen. He was like, one day at a time, first get your visa. And he's also an immigrant, and he was turning 30, and this was his first time leaving the States. And his first country that he ever traveled to was Colombia. So it was really cool to connect with him and really listen to his story and know that like everything happens and at the right time. So we connected, I met his team. They were all great. We had a really cool weekend and we're also celebrating life and, you know, friendship. And they really gave me a great vibe, and it really just allowed me to connect with that cameo and that cameo on the cam from LA. So when I went back to LA, I told him right away, I was like, I'm in LA, like, what can we do? Let's do it. And they invited me to a couple of sets. We collaborated. They just invited me to be a part of the team and just kind of shadow them and see, you know, what they were doing. And it was a beautiful experience. I got to shoot like a behind the scenes. I did it out of my heart. Like, I wasn't even getting paid or anything. I was just like there to learn. And when I get to set, I just remember they giving me like an NDA to sign, and I didn't even know who the artist was. And the next thing I see is Nicki Minaj and Miriam Fares, and I was like, what? It's like, what am I shooting today? And they told me, oh, we're doing the World Cup music video, official music video shoot. And I was like, what? And it was just such a beautiful experience that it all came from me taking a chance when I was in Colombia, of me saying, I'm gonna book a flight and go to Medellin and make some friends. And all of these things kind of started to happen. And, you know, the relationship started to grow, and I started to meet more people, and it led me to more, you know, opportunities and just more growing as a professional and as, you know, as a director. I feel like I've learned a lot from them just by being with them on set and shadowing them and seeing how to work as a leader, as a director, and as a teammate. So that was something that I really admired. And I was like, wow, like when I have a team, this is exactly how I want to treat them and how I want to lead people. Like I want to empower people, and I want to make people feel like, you know, we're all part of something big, and everyone matters and everyone's important. So that was something that I really took away from that experience. It was a beautiful thing, and I'm super grateful for it.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. I think that, like, you taking those opportunities, those chances, like, that's what gets you that, like, the tools you need. You are a leader attracting another leader, and you, mm-hmm. like, are given these, like, loopholes, these gateways to, like, grab the tools you need and to put them a part of you, to make Camion Cam, to make, you know, yeah. your foundation even stronger. And yeah. That's amazing from the opportunities that you've been given.
This experience of since the last time that I came to help my friends document their project that they were working on. And we went to Arizona for a couple of days, and I was able to just travel and record something and document something out of my heart. And it really helped me to just really reconnect with my passion, because when you create for a living, there's like waves, right? And there's like times where work feels like a game, and it feels great, and it feels so inspiring and exciting. And there's times where it feels like a job. And I don't like when my job feels like a job. And at a time in Colombia, I started to feel like everything that I was doing was just for money and to just survive. And I didn't like that feeling. And especially because of like a couple of experiences that I had with people who made my job feel like a job. And I didn't feel like I was a part of something. I didn't feel like I was being used a lot of the times. So I had to just kind of reconnect and make peace and heal that experience that I had, so I could reconnect with my art and what I really love, which is filmmaking, in a different way. And ever since I did that, a lot of like opportunities have opened for me, and things just kind of have been evolving into the next opportunity and the next thing, and meeting people, and the way that I feel when I'm here is exactly how I want to feel every day. Like, I really want to like put my energy and my peace, my mental peace, as a priority. Like, I want to wake up every day and I want to, you know, go shoot, or I want to go go create something with someone and love it. I don't want to feel like I'm going to do something because I have to.
I think what happens here is, like, I'm with you too on this, like, dynamic of changing your definition of what a job is, what it feels like energetically. What a job tends to feel like for people is like, oh, I come home exhausted. I hate my coworkers. My job sucks, or my boss is an asshole. Like, we are like stuck in these stereotypes of having to have a shitty job, that when we think of a job or we take on something, like, we attract energetically that energy. we want the, like, to create and have the job in our definition be something that we enjoy doing and showing up to. And that's where I see you, you know, you're embodying that. As much as you say it, you're embodying it. You're in an environment that is allowing you to, with the connections you're making. And every tool that you've picked up was for you to be your own leader, like to be that person that gets to hold down the fort of like, no, this job's going to be fun. Like it's going to, we're going to come out here feeling like we did our time, we did our work, but once we're done, we're not going to hate each other for it or like have this heavy energy or like despise each other. Like we're going to, like, we're still cool. Like we did a project, now more are to come, you know? And then it's just keeping those high vibrations where they need to be so that every time you show up, knowing if it is hard and challenging or a talent is giving you a rough time, like you have your team, your friends, like you have the support team, you know how to like build that they're gonna like be like working with you at the level you're at energetically.
If there's anything that I've learned from the past couple years here is I realize the importance of the people around you. So I am working really hard on like making sure that I feel good with the people around me and that whenever I bring someone on a project, like I do the best that I can to make them feel how I want to be treated on a set. And I think that's super important because in general, like now that we are on this time and age where everything's content, like we can forget. It's easy to forget that at the end of the day, we're humans and we're all trying to just tell a story, you know? So the story really is what matters, but the human behind who's creating the content also matters a lot. So I think that was a big takeaway from my last experience working with a team that really made me doubt myself and my capabilities because I just didn't buy into what they wanted me to really think. And it just didn't feel right for me. Like I was, if it doesn't feel right, it doesn't feel right. And that's something that I had to come to terms because it was just a lot of people telling me one thing, but their actions and just kind of like the things that I was seeing for myself, like how I was feeling, it didn't feel right. I was like, I'm doing all of this work and I'm doing all of this things to create content that it's making me want to hate it. Like, I don't like this. I don't like this experience. Like, the experience wasn't fun. So I think that when I worked with Edgar Esteves and all of these people, and how I saw how they treated their team and how everything was so well organized and everything, I was like, this is how it's supposed to be. This is how it should go. And of course, when you're on set and when you're working and when you're creating, there's a lot of things that don't go the right way, and there's problems and there's things that come up. But the way that you approach the problem is very different when everyone's like in sync of, okay, let's find a solution together. It's not the end of the world, but let's figure it out.
I think also too, even the parts of you that are like, you know, taking on jobs and you might not like it, or opportunities, you know, and it's like, it's not your cup of tea, but now you know that's not your cup of tea. You don't even like that flavor. So, but you at least tried it.
And but you know it.
Now. Yeah. And you know now as a leader that you're like, this quality comes back to this, like you building this for yourself is like, okay, well, I definitely don't want to be like that or run the show like that, you know? So it gives you this whole perspective of like your do's and don'ts of what does and doesn't work. And that gives you the leeway, the opportunity, and the tools to begin to like put that into play when you get your team, when you build your team. You know now, like, you won't come up like to your team and be like, well, we'll just see how it goes, which you will event, you know, you'll go with the flow, but you'll know, you'll have some tools to be like, okay, well, this is what I know. And, you know, everyone is gonna, you know, teach you, be teachers. We're all teachers to each other, but
you know, yeah, this, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, anyone who's in your life is in your life for a reason. Anyone that you work with is there for a reason. Like, even when you have a mentor, you don't like something that you will realize is that the same way that your mentor might be teaching you something, you're teaching them a lot of things too. And, you know, we're all mirrors of each other. And a lot of the things that you don't like on certain people is things within yourself that you have to work on and that you have to see why does it bother me so much that this person does this?
Yeah.
It's like not everything is set in stone. And with time, you will realize that the things that made you feel uncomfortable were there for a reason. So, right.
Absolutely. I feel like even too, like you already know your intention. You already know what you're calling in. As long as you stay connected to that intention, the universe will take you there. The universe will give you the opportunities, and not every opportunity is going to be like all sparkly. Some of it's going to be rough. Some of it's building character for you, you know, but you have the intention to get there, knowing you know the good, the bad, the ugly of what the job includes. But again, it just comes down to your own thoughts and feelings about knowing that where you're getting to, this person that you see yourself being, is being built throughout the journey, that, you know, every step that you take, every door that you open, and every door that you're closing.
And I would say too, back to where you were saying about building character, like a lot of things in life, like a lot of situations in life that you don't feel comfortable in, they do build your character. But also, it's very important to know your character in certain situations when you don't like something that's going on, to stay true to your character. Like, it's hard sometimes to feel like you're an outsider in a certain situation, and feeling like, no, these are my boundaries. This is who I am. And also honoring who you are and your values is very important. So I think that's something that with time you also like start to develop a little bit more, is like knowing what's important to you, what are the values that you want to provide to yourself and to others, and in your friendships and your relationships, in your with your clients or whoever you're dealing with. It's very important to know what's important to you first, and what are the values and the things that make you, and so no matter what situations come your way, you at least know that like your character won't be compromised because of how other people deal with certain situations. Like, it's very important to know.
It's very important for you to see like where you start and another person like ends. Like, you know, you have to be able to, like, even though we are all whole, we are all connected, the individuality of who you are, of knowing like, okay, yes, we're mirroring each other, but that's how they respond or how they move in life. And you have to, you know, come back to, yeah, your characteristic, your individuality of like, this is who I am, and solidifying yourself in that, because, you know, we could be persuaded into things that we aren't like who we are, or it's testing us, you know, to like be like more of ourselves, but we give in to maybe something that's getting us heated, and this is not really how we act, but it's getting us this way because this person is challenging us. But these are all just universal lessons. Like, this is planet Earth, and we're gonna get faced with that until we learn how to be in our own like essence, in our own like energy of who we are. And yeah, I mean, I could say the same through my own journey that of like that I'm healing through and that I'm working through, is like the who I am. This is like basically where essence came from for me, was because I was sort of lost in this way of like, who the hell am I? Like, I'm getting pulled around from place to place, like energetically, of like who my parents wanted me to be, or like what they expected from me is something totally different from who I am now, you know? And every step that I'm taking, every healing moment that I'm indulging in, I'm like, oh wait, I actually like learning about this, or this is actually really fun. Like, let me get into more of this. And this is where it took me on this journey, you know? So it's the idea of like, you unravel yourself the more that you come back to yourself, and you like the way that you're healing yourself and everything, like sitting with your thoughts and with your do's and don'ts about what you do and don't like, it all is like wrapped up in this place of like, at the end of the day, we're finding out who we are through other people and keeping that balance between knowing that we're whole, we're all connected, but also we're all individuals having a separate, unique journey.
It's very special to when you finally like find that space in which you want to grow and you want to indulge yourself in, but it's scary. It's also scary. It's scary because it's like not a lot of people understand it. And when it comes with family and it comes with other people or the people that you care, their opinions get on the way, like it can be very scary and intimidating. I think it's so important to be able to listen to the universe and to talk to the universe and like be willing to hear it. When you ask the universe for signs, like you should not be like, universe, give me a sign and then go to sleep. Like you should be really aware of your surroundings, and when those signs come in, like know what they mean and just stick to your guns even when it's scary. Like you just gotta do it and you'll figure out on the way too. So
I agree on all of what you said, and I'm gonna backtrack to like just even this idea of like this knowing that you can have fun at work is something that I find just very relatable. Like at this moment in time, building my own profession, you building your own profession of just like becoming this boss, this leader, and changing the way for what work should feel like, what it should look like. This is like also very important to me as I build these stepping stones. Because, you know, obviously making money is important and it gets you where you need to go. And, you know, either way, you're going to want to work because the place of this being on earth is to be of service, you know, to humanity and to yourself and, you know, to the earth. So it's like redefining what that work is like something I find that I'm really in connection with you on and I totally agree on. And it's like that's I feel is one of our challenge points as being here is like maybe even in our future we're going to be continually sharing this on like how we can keep this energy up of having fun, you know, because it's not seen everywhere, you know, it's kind of like a hit or miss type of gem that you get into this like collaboration or this workspace and it's like, oh yeah, that was great, you know, and it's like, why can't we have more of that? We totally can, you know, like we can totally let life be more of that. It's not always going to be like stars and rainbows. I know that like you're going to have some tough clients, some tough work things, like shit happens, Mercury retrograde, like eclipses, like our own bullshit, Mercury. You know, like our own stuff happens to us. Like we don't always have great days, but it's the idea is that like the support team and everyone that you're going to be working with, as for myself too, the clients I have, like, or, you know, people I'll be in communion with, like, my intention is to like manifest really great work, even if it is heavy and shitty. Like we're going to hold hands and be like, yeah, we hate today, but we're going to get through it. You know, like we still like believe in each other and we'll still like know that the divine is with us. And I think that's where I'm at too, is just healing this part, because I've had really shitty jobs in my past, really bad bosses, and like they still haunt me sometimes and I'm like, I don't ever want to be like them. Like I want to be better than that, but it's like it takes that, you know, courage, and when things get heavy that you have to like remember with awareness like what your values are, what your basically your personal statement is.
So I think that you're touching something that it's very important, which is, yes, like it's a blessing and it's an absolute privilege to live off of your passion and the things that you love. Not everyone does it. And I think that we're very privileged to be able to continue growing and building a life off of our passions and what we love. And I think that it's for that to be able to work, it's so important to know yourself and to know your limits and to know your boundaries with everything and everyone. And the reason why I'm saying this is because, at least in my experience, like, I've been blessed to work with a lot of people that I really love. And, like, a lot of my clients and a lot of the people that I work with are friends. Like, a lot of the people that I'm constantly shooting with or creating with are people that I know and or clients that became my friends. Like, when you love what you do and you have fun with those people, like, those clients can become your friends. And so in my case, I even work with my sister, you know, who I've known my entire life. But it's not always easy when you have to know how to separate certain things, because at the end of the day, yes, you're doing a job and you need to be able to deliver certain things. And so knowing those boundaries and knowing where what your limits are is very important for things to be really sustainable for everyone.
For sure.
You need to be able to also have those conversations with the people that you're close with, people that you love, outside mm-hmm. of what you're creating, outside of the projects that you're doing. You need to be able to have those conversations to set your boundaries, and so everyone knows what you're bringing to the table and what needs to be done at the end of the day. Like, that's something that I struggle with a lot. And that's something that I've learned for the past 4 years since I went back to Colombia. It was because I was offered a job in Colombia in a company that was pre-established and everything. And it was like the dream job for anyone who worked in Colombia. But I also had this opportunity to continue doing freelance video and something that was more dear to my heart. And I was like, oh, what do I do? Do I do what I love or do with the people, with friends and people that I love? Or do I go into this company that's like a 9-to-5 and, you know, establish the thing that you should do after you graduate college type of thing? And I decided to go through the path that my heart was telling me. And I learned a lot of lessons from that experience that till this day, I don't regret at all making that decision, but it really did lead me to a lot of lessons and things that I now understand. I guess in this sense, I was kind of stubborn and I had to stick on my guns. Because both of my parents are doctors, so they come, and everyone in my family in general, they're all like lawyers, and they have very established like jobs. And my sister and I are the only artists in the family. Yes. And our other cousin, we have another cousin that's also like a musician. So it's very little people that live off of art, pretty much. So it's not like a... It's not a normal thing.
It's not a common thing. Yeah.
It's not a common thing.
Yeah.
So,
no,
so
I agree.
We've had to really break patterns and break, like, yeah, patterns and things that, like, maybe our family members wouldn't understand, because they're like, why don't you just take the job that, you know, pays for your apartment and it's you're going to be settled and you don't have to worry about finding clients every day. Because I don't want to do that. Because I don't. It's because I don't vibe with that. I'm not. First of all, the environment that I'm gonna be in, I know I'm gonna be miserable. So why would I put myself through that? Like, it's important to love where you are.
What you do.
And again, not everyone gets the privilege of doing that. But I do believe that if you don't get to do that through your job, you also have to find ways outside of your job that you can fulfill that, because it's important as a human being to have fun in life. Like, if you're doing a job that is paying the bills and is helping you get to where you want to be, but it's not necessarily like what lits your heart and your heart and how do you say that? Like, lits your fire. What's the saying?
Yeah, it's
it hurts your
that.
it it fires your heart, like,
yeah, it flames your soul.
Then find something else that's gonna make you feel that way. Play and work, it's two things that are so important to have and to balance out in your in your life.
Absolutely.
It's all gonna make sense.
Yeah, well, what I really am saying here too is that, like, whatever you do, whatever you choose to do in life, like, the foundation of knowing that you love it, no matter, like, the grit, the sweat, the tears, like, do you love it? You know, like, is it coming from a place of where you're at, of your heart center? And, like, is it fueling you up with fire? Like, it doesn't even come down to, like, whatever money you're making. Like, first and foremost, like, number one, do you love it? And then when you love it, you put all your passion and fire into that, and the universe rewards you back with it because you truly love this. And I think that's where a lot of us are breaking the mold and the chain that's been made. You know, like, we're grateful that, you know, I have a family just like yours that's very successful, and they've built a way, and they, you know, chose the path that they were able to, you know, that worked for them. But at this point in our lives, like, us being able to get this opportunity, grateful to have a family that built the foundation, why not, like, make it more freedom free, you know, like, and make it more of, like, soulful. So I think that's, like, where I am also mirroring something similar to you, this, like, creative outlet, this creative different being that you are, you know, like, you're not following a path that's already been built, or, like, a profession that's already been made. Like, it has been, but you're putting it in your own twist, your own way. Even your sister, she's making her own beat, her own music. Like, it's like we're putting our own juice and essence. Like, that's literally what this is, and that's why I have you here, because it's like you are literally putting what you have into your own way of living, doing, being. Like, every part of you is vibrating this camion cam. It's like attracting all of this. Like, you came here to be a beautiful soul that loves and, you know, experiences life, but you also came here with the service of what you're given the gift of, and that is being camion cam, like, to spread that. And, like, that's where, you know, you're gonna feel fully alive. And that's how I feel. Like, this is how I'm gonna feel fully alive. People may not accept it or see that. Like, it's just like, it makes me happy. So I'm gonna spread the word here, or you're gonna keep showing up, making all these beautiful, like, videos and contents. And, like, we do it because we love it. That's what it comes down to. The divine knows the plan, and we're here to follow it, you know? We're trying to follow, not trying, but we are. We're following our highest divine timeline of where we're going. And there's really no end or beginning. It's just we're flowing through the process of, like, ah, this feels good. Oh, I like this better, you know?
For me, even, like, the decision of being a director and being in the filmmaking world, like, it all came to me in a way that I did not expect, because when I was living in Seattle and it was my year abroad, my first year abroad, I didn't even had a major. I didn't even know what I wanted to do in life. And I was young. I was 17. And we took a vacation to LA. I went on vacation for a few days with a friend. And it was my first time ever in LA. And we went to see all the touristic stuff. And there was something inside of me that I felt like, oh, this is cool. Like, I like being surrounded by all the movie stuff. And then my friend Jonathan, who's an angel, I always say, like, he doesn't even know, like, what it meant for me to come to his place, stay with him for a few days with my other friend. And he took us to the Warner Brothers Studios tour. And as soon as I went there and I saw it, and I saw this world of directing and movies and that, and something inside of me clicked, and I was like, oh, this is where I need to be. This is what I need to do. I'm going to become a filmmaker. I'm going to move to LA one day and I'm going to make it happen. And, like, that wasn't the plan. I was just going on vacation, and somehow I called my parents. I called my friends. I was like, I'm going to live in LA. Like, I think this is what I wanted to do. And next thing, I moved to San Francisco, I did my community college and everything aligned so I could end up in LA. But that wouldn't have happened if I took that trip And I just kind of saw that world and I let the universe just show me the way. Like, it just kind of clicked. So that's just to say that whenever you really, you don't know where you're going or you don't know exactly what the next step is, it's good to step out of your comfort zone and try things and just go on a trip. Like, I love traveling and I feel like I found so much clarity in comfort, in being uncomfortable and getting outside of your comfort zone and seeing new places and trying new things and being in a place where you don't speak the language and you don't know the culture. Like, there's so much freedom and there's so much like information and things you can learn from stepping out of your comfort zone and just trying new things and learning a new language. And
I do truly feel that like traveling not only opens you up to like opportunities, but it also opens up your ego, you know, like it allows your ego to like sort of calm itself down to like, because you obviously are in this place where you don't know, like you're not like all big and mighty, like you're just like you have to humbly be where you are and learn from it. And I feel like if everyone could travel like that, I feel is part of the medicine of what can help our egos, like be able to like tame the lion. I don't know if you know the like strength card. It's like a lion and a woman. She's like an angel, but she's like taming the lion in the tarot deck. And I like, they say that that's also like, you have to be able to tame your lion, like tame your ego. And I feel like traveling is one of the best ways you can possibly do that. Because, you know, it just opens up your mind.
It just, it's a beautiful opportunity to see things with the eyes of like,
that's what I was gonna say too. It's like a new thing when we're used to the same pattern and routine and we've been here, done that, like we do it over and over and over again, like we just like become this like, oh yeah, I know it all, you know, like not that we like truly like want to be that way, but you become that way. You're like, I'm an expert, you know.
Yeah, so I think it's a beautiful thing to just be able to see things through the eyes of just the first time. Those first times when you go somewhere you've never been, when you are in situations where you have to talk to people because you don't know something. Or, you know, like, I think that that's a beautiful thing and everyone should experience, you know, just getting out of your comfort zone and being a little uncomfortable and like not knowing everything. Like, not knowing everything gives you a lot of strength and information that helps you grow a lot more. So,
and that's where, you know, practicing mindfulness comes in handy, going through your own healing journey and like just clearing up shop. I don't know how you've been feeling these past few weeks or, you know, like what it's looked like for you, but there's been like a eclipse. There was a super full moon about 2 weeks ago in, I believe, Pisces. And then today is a new moon in Libra. And there was a solar eclipse today. So there was this.
Today? Yeah, today. And I cut my hair today. So bad.
I mean, it's honestly, even if it is a superstition, it's up to you. Like, do you believe it?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I don't know. It's just funny because I was talking to my friend the other day.
That way.
No, I know. No, listen, it's gonna be how it's supposed to be. But I just think it's funny because some people really are like that. But yeah.
Yeah.
How have you been feeling? It's been tough for me to sleep in the past couple of days. But I also think that it's because I've been craving and I've been having this like little seed inside of my heart that I want to give birth to the next generation, like the next stage of my life. And I've been really working on journaling and finding new habits that work for my new today, for my new present. Because as I was saying before, like, I am really focusing on living in the present and like not really worrying too much about what's going to happen or what happened in the past. So I feel like I'm slowly giving birth and kind of like transforming into a new era, and I'm grieving a little bit of like the past version of myself, and I'm, you know, letting go of a lot of things. So it takes time. When I came to Miami 6 months ago, I felt like I was surrounded by with a lot of people, and it was great. But now that like I've made the decision to stay here, it feels more real, and I am now feeling the need to build my own community and take the time to do the same thing that I did when I was in LA. So I'm working on my daily habits and just really like focusing on being the version, acting as the person that I want to be, even though I'm not that person just yet.
Yeah, I feel like what you're doing is also giving this invitation to God, to spirit, to be like, hey, this is what I want. And, you know, you show up when you can. That's what you're doing. And slowly but surely, you progress into this new being that you are. And I feel like it's synchronistically happening where you are in solitude right now, because that's why I asked, because the eclipse portal had been for like a good 2 weeks, 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
or even more. But like, it's been a time, basically all of like September. And, you know, now it's this transitional time for you to like clear up shop of letting go of, you know, old ways of thinking or feeling about yourself. And that allows you to start to see the seed that you're planting like sprout slowly, you know, and see it grow by the action that you take every day. So, it just really comes down to showing up the best you can and becoming aware of like this transition that you're seeking and that's coming to fruition in the future, but by being present with where you are now.
You know, there's things that you don't know that you need to heal and you need to work on still. There might be things that you're still, you know, you that you might not care too much, or you're not trying to give it too much of attention, but there are things that are stopping you from getting to the next place, or just like making it, just meditating on those things and really paying attention to things that are not super comfortable to talk about or think about.
Yeah.
It's also important so you can like unblock certain right. things and get into the next stage. Right. That's it.
Exactly. So, no, for sure. I mean, it's a part of like, I say letting go, but it's not really letting go, because like what you've done in your past has been done. It's written in your book of life, mm-hmm. but it's more of this like letting go of like, in a sense where you get to forgive, you get to like accept all that may had happened. So that way you can make space in this place of like what's considered our darkness. But it's really just this like place of like, where we sort of sweep things under the rug, you know? It's like clearing that mm-hmm. out, because what needs to be in our darkness is our seeds. Our seeds grow in the dark. Our, you know, a baby grows in the womb. Like, the darkness is like what holds space for the new. But we shove things mm-hmm. down there that we don't want to see. And that's our subconscious mind, like, beneath mm-hmm. us. And our conscious mind's like, oh, I want to get here. I want this. I want that. I want this. You know, like, we're constantly mm-hmm. wanting more, but that's when the universe steps us back into solitude or into this place of like hermit season, you know, or hibernating season, for us to be able to like, okay, wait, clear up shop, because you didn't have time to look at this before. Now this is your time to do so. Basically, work on yourself to get those seeds going and growing for your next chapter, mm-hmm. the next season, because we're also flowing with the seasons. We're flowing mm-hmm. with like what's going on in our surroundings, what's, you know, the weather, everything is like still affecting us, even the moon, the sun, like it's all, we're all orbiting like with this energy. So it's like we have to also be considerate of like our own seasons, and us being a woman with our own like mm-hmm. with periods and stuff, like that's even a challenge on top of that.
Another topic. Yeah.
Yeah. Another like part of our dilemma that we have to go through as like figuring it out and giving ourselves the break we need and like going through our highs and lows. It's like, it's a whole thing you got to work through to balance.
There are seasons of planting. There's a seasons to harvest. You know, get the harvest. And there's seasons to just kind of wait until the flower comes out and, you know, all of these things. So, you know, you just have to be able to to recognize in what season you're in and be respectful of that season. Like, exactly. I think it's very important to be aware and to be easy on ourselves. Like, that's something that I'm working on too. It's like, I don't have it all figured out right now, but it's okay. Like, I'm taking the steps and I don't have to have it all figured out right now. Like, it's okay. It's a season of I already planted some seeds. I just kind of have to be patient and be ready. Focus on the things that I could, quote unquote, control. Not really, because you cannot really control anything. But if maybe working out and feeling, getting in shape physically is something that I could be doing while other things spiritually and in a different dimension is working while I'm like doing this, let me just do that. So so I think it's important to just be easy on ourselves and really know, be aware of what kind of season am I in. Like, did I plant the seeds when I had the chance? Did I not? Okay, I didn't. So now it's time to plant a different seed. And just then wait. And then when that, you know, harvest comes, then to take that those fruits and use them properly and just being aware as much as you can. I always tell my friends, and we talked about this book too, The Artist's Way, but that's like a habit that I really used when I was in Colombia and I didn't have a lot going on. I just read that book and I took the habit of journaling every morning. And some days, you know, I flow and I write a lot. Some days I don't. But now that I go back and I have a bunch of, I have a bunch journals. And I go back and I read how I felt in certain times, I'm like, wow, like it's very cool to see the progress and understand, oh, I didn't know that this was going to happen at this time, but like, look how I was feeling and really put it and just putting out into paper what's going inside of my mind. So it's not on my mind. It's not like it's occupying all the space in my mind. It's just like somewhere, a seat in somewhere else, where you can just be there and it can be of service in a different dimension and it can just like be doing its own magic. So I think that that's super, super helpful to just have those habits that help you stay at peace within your own mind.
Oh, for sure, girl. You don't even want to get me started on The Artist's Way. I read that book twice and it's helped me heal my relationship with God, like defining God, you know, in my own way. And it's helped me the second round, what has been like more of this block that I've been working through, which I feel like I've, you know, made progression on. But it was the idea of that, like, artists, they can make money off of their work. And that became like something I didn't realize I had a block on, but I noticed it in the book. It really shined light on, like, this is subconsciously how I feel, because a lot of people are telling me or vibrating this subliminally. You know, it had me realize, was just like, damn, I really can do this if I believe this. But
you gotta believe it first.
Exactly. It's like my conscious mind. It's crazy. My conscious mind is like, yes, I believe this. But my whole body, like my energy, my emotional body, like it needs to all believe this
and be aligned.
Takes time
and time. Healing and understanding, because we have these conceptions that artists are broke, artists are disorganized, artists are drug addicts, artists are always consuming or disorganized. And so we grow up thinking that way, and so when we choose to be artists in any sort of discipline that we like, we have those conceptions, even if we don't, if we're not aware. So it's very important to really, again, go back to the values and think and really know what it is that makes you, you. Like, what are your qualities? What are the things that make you wanna create live your life and live by them. So it's a whole another topic, because I do, I did struggle with that a lot too, where honoring what I do and understanding that what I do is worth money and I can make money off and I can live off of what I do. It's such a powerful thing. And for a long time, I didn't think that it was possible. But then when my parents, you know, told me like, okay, we gave you everything that we could until this point, like from now on, like, you gotta figure it out. I was like, okay. When they told me that, I got so scared. I was like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? Like, I cannot live off of this. I cannot, like, how? But now it's been a few years where I've been on my, pretty much on my own, and I've been working and doing the things that I've been I've been living off of the things that I love, and knowing and honoring that it is possible, and that I also have to honor my talent. Like, my talent is worth money. Right. My talent is worth money. And if people want my talent, and if people want my time, if people want me to do certain things for them, they have to pay. And then they don't have to pay just what they are capable of paying. There's a rate. If you cannot respect that, then work on getting the funds, and then we'll talk. Like, being able to say no, being able to just say, I'm sorry, that doesn't work. Yeah. Like, that's hard. That's something that we artists don't fucking talk about, because we think that, like, oh, we're doing it for the art, so let's just do it for this. And while, of course, there's steps, and there's, you know, there's dues that you need to pay to get to a level. Yeah. And it's completely normal to work for free when you're gathering starting information off, and you're learning and you're building. It's totally fine. There are times where you have to be able to know when people are using you and when people are straight up taking advantage of you. Right. So that's something that not a lot of people talk about, and not a lot of artists, because all artists go through it. And that's the crazy part. Like, we all go through those, you know, clients and people and snakes that straight up just trying to steal away from your creativity, and they make your passion feel like a job, and it's not fun. And then we go back to the other concept of, oh, this feels like a job, and it's a whole thing. It's crazy. But just being able to make peace with, we're abundant human beings, and there's money. My mom always says, you know, if a problem is about money, it's not a problem at all, because money is in the streets. Like, money is out there. You just have to go and get it. So, but also, you know, you have to, as an artist, you have to respect your talent and your time and in your efforts. Like, and so it's important to know that and respect that and honor your talent. I heard a quote that I always think about, and it's like, your talent is God's gift to you, and what you do with it, it's your gift back to God.
Yes.
So it's it's important to make good use of your talent.
Yeah, it's important to know that, like, what you have, this gift, this skill, it's because it is working through you. It's this channeling of divine energy, this universal force, and you're using it as a conduit. You're being a vessel for that energy, that creative, because creativity is your intuition, all this passion, this heart, like, it's all connected to this place of the feminine, the creatrix, the creator,
and the masculine
is the balance of it all. Yeah, exactly. And the masculine is what actually makes you get up and do it. So it's like these two work together, and it's the idea of being obviously in balance with yourself, but also being a channel and being open to the stream of God consciousness to make this work, to put out this energy, because even if the fact that you love it, that's what the energy is about. And that energy is radiating in everything you do. So when that person gets your product, gets your service, they're feeling that. That's inspiring them to keep on doing their own work. So like, it's like a domino effect of like everyone being able to know like, oh wait, hey, I can, you know, I feel good about this. And like, that's how we change the definition. That's how we change the energy around. We switch it up, because we're not being around this like negativity of like, life sucks. You know, like, it's like, no, like, we know life is tough, but like, we actually still love it. We want to get up and show up every morning and do what we do, like, because we love it. Point yeah. blank, period. Like, love is what we do it for, basically.
Yeah. And when, if someone is hiring you to do, to give a service to them, and you are doing it out of love, and it comes from your heart, like, there's a difference in the energy, for sure.
Oh, for sure. Everyone can feel it. I think everyone can feel a vibe. Even if you're around a room, like, you might, this is where you have to be able to know, like, where, you know, your own boundary, but you know a vibe. You know a vibe when you see one. You know, like, you know you're going to hit it off with the person, or that it's just going to be a person you're passing by. Like, the vibes are there. The energy's there. It's never going to leave. And, you know, especially if you're intuitive, you're going to read the vibes. You're always going to be in tune with, like, that. So, like, you always keeping your frequency high and working with clients, they get a piece of that with them. You know, like, they get to take that into their own hearts or their own, you know, personal lives, and it makes a difference. So it's like these hibernation times, these reflecting times allow you to step up and be that person you continue to want to strive to be, the person you continue to be already. You know, it's like you're just enhancing that light, that love you have for yourself and the world. So it really just comes down to that, honestly.
Period.
Love is love. Period. I like that we got to have this conversation. I'm so happy to have you here. And this will not be your last time on here. We'll be seeing you more often, because you have definitely a lot to share. And the world needs to hear your voice. I know you're always behind the camera, but you...
I am.
Yeah, you are definitely one to shine as well and spread your own love and positivity.
Thank you. I received that with so much love, because I deserve it too.
Yes, you do.
I deserve it, and I, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's refreshing to be, you know, here, and I hope that anyone who hears this and who listens to this can get some sort of motivation to just keep going and really know that everyone is different and we all have different stories and everything, but it's important to honor your story and to keep going no matter what happens, and just really be able to listen to the universe, because it might be screaming at you and you're not listening to it, you're not seeing it until you have to. So it's better when you were receptive of the universe when it's speaking to you, or God, like, however you want to call it. I think that it's really important to be in tune with whatever makes your heart feel like it's being hurt, you know?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
You said it.
Thank you for having me.
So well. Yes, of course. Before we close off, I do want to ask Cammy, please share your information of where people can find you, follow you, and just follow, you know, your journey.
Absolutely. Well, if you ever want to see some cool stories, content behind the scenes, I love telling the story behind of what it is that you see. And you can follow me on Cammy on the Cam, and you can see more of my work in CammyOnTheCam.com. And all of the socials is Cammy on the Cam. Just follow Cammy on the Cam.
Love it. Cammy on the Cam. Thank you, Soul Babes, for tuning in to this episode. If you would like to hear more, you can listen on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. And yes, if you like this video, please give it a thumbs up, a comment, share anything that you felt resonated with you, and be sure to subscribe. And we'll see you again next time. Bye. Hearts all around. Ooh. She's over here spreading the love.